From tent-toting patriarchs greeting promises from afar, to vagabonds and vagrants doomed to wander in a wasteland, God's people never sought final satisfaction in the journey. Traveling is tough going. We seek the promised land, a city with foundations, whose designer and builder is God, aiding you on towards the destination. Welcome to Journey's End.
You've come to Journey's End.
Lay down your sweet and weary head. Night is falling. You have come to Journey's End. This is the bumper music that you heard at the beginning of our show here. These words are sung at the end of that massively successful Lord of the Rings movie trilogy, the third movie, the very moving part of the last movie. And they tell us that even after the quest is finished, after you've done the journey, one day you have to face your final destination. You're listening to a brand new radio show that we have named Journey's End. Names say a lot about us. I have four girls, and each of them has a form of Grace in her name. You might be asking, he didn't name all of his girls Grace like George Foreman named his sons George the First and Second and Third and Fourth, did he? No, we chose different words, and some of them are in the first name, and some are in the middle name, but we wanted our children to be known and to know about God's grace. Names are meaningful. Our radio show is a Christian program, for instance. Christian is a name that the disciples of Jesus were called in Acts 11:26. Now, over the years, we've had other names, some that have been given to us, others that we took for ourselves, Catholics, Protestants, Baptists, Presbyterians, Reformed, Arminian, Dispensational. There's a lot of names that Christians are known by. We put some of these names into our churches, and naming churches has seen a lot of changes over the years, and a recent trend in church names is to take some form of the word journey and put it into the name. So you've got names like Highway Community or Pathways, Crossing Church, Expedition, Odyssey, Voyage, Venture, Journey. These are all churches that you can find on the web. Clearly, these people are trying to get across some kind of a message with these names. Now, our show is not a church, and it's not a church service. It's going to be a discussion. We want to look at trends in the culture and in the church. We want to try and understand the good parts and think seriously about potentially bad parts. We want to offer biblical solutions by going to relevant passages and helping you think about the topic in light of them. Now, today's show will focus on the name of our show, which is Journey's End. Why did we choose Journey's End? Good afternoon. It's good to be with you for our first show. I'm Doug Van Dorn, pastor of the Reformed Baptist Church of Northern Colorado, and with me is Tony Jackson, pastor of Reformation Baptist Church. Tony, I'm going to start off asking you a question. Why do you think people are so fascinated by the journey?
Well, that's a great question, Doug, and good afternoon. It is good to be here and talking about the journey. It is really fascinating how many people today are so enamored with this idea of journey. As you mentioned, the names of these churches, calling themselves by these names that really reflect and seem to really emphasize the idea that the Christian life is really a journey. And people are really taken by that idea. They want to emphasize the notion that the Christian life is really about living the Christian life. And I think that that's what's being reflected there. People perhaps are less interested today in talking about pie in the sky or heaven or an idea of the afterlife because they see people around them that are hurting. They see people that are maybe they've lost their job or they're poor. They're not getting along with their family, whatever it is. And so the shift in folks' thinking has really gone from thinking about what is to come to thinking about, you know, how we actually live our lives. And I think that that is really what's going on there. What do you think?
Yeah, the reason why we chose the name of the show, Journey's End, is definitely in light of the fact that there's a journey. I started thinking about this idea of pilgrims. Older Christians used to be called pilgrims. In fact, pilgrims were those people that settled this great land in America. What do you think is the difference between being on a journey and being a pilgrim?
Yeah, that's a great question. As a matter of fact, David Wells, in his most recent book, I think it was, talked about the difference between these ideas. He said the book, for example, Pilgrim's Progress, which was written by John Bunyan, had the title Pilgrim's Progress from This Life to That Which Is to Come. And there was certainly built into that idea of being a pilgrim the idea that this pilgrimage is not forever. There is a destination at the end of the pilgrimage. And I think that that is really the difference. Today, we hear a lot of discussion about the journey and less emphasis or discussion about the destination.
Right. I mean, at least in the church names, people aren't calling themselves the destination. You know, they're emphasizing the travel.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, Scripture has a lot to say about the travel. It has a lot to say about the journey, obviously, but it also has a lot to say about the destination. And so that's what we really want to focus on in this show, is talking about not just the journey, but also the destination, because we believe that both of those things are vitally important to understanding what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live the Christian life.
So we have called it the journey's end, and we're talking about the destination. What is the journey's end?
Well, the journey's end is what Scripture calls a lot of different things. And we're going to talk about some of these passages in just a minute and why we need to really have an understanding of what the journey's end is, and not just the journey. But the journey's end, as we have traditionally known it, is most Christians know it by, as heaven, or as the life which is to come, the life that we'll share with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. And it is that which comes after this life. You know, Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes judgment.
Right.
There is something that comes after this life, and that something is more than just the journey. It is an eternal journey, but it is, from our perspective today as believers, it is the end of the present journey that we're on this earth.
So we're not just wandering around aimlessly. There's a purpose for our journey. We're going towards some place, some goal, some purpose.
Well, that's exactly right. To live the Christian life and to not have a purpose, to not have an end to which we are hoping and looking with faith and even longing for that day to come, looking forward to the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not something that is a part of the heart of every believer, then there's something missing. There's something wrong, because Scripture obviously deals with the trials and the tribulations, the difficulties of the journey, but the hope that we have is something that's beyond the journey. It is the destination itself.
Now, do you think that if we're focusing on the journey's end, and so many are focusing on the journey, does that mean that we think that the journey is a bad thing?
No. As a matter of fact, we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about that and just thinking about the categories of the Christian life. I'm thinking about various doctrines that define the Christian life and what it really means to express our lives in how we live and how we relate to one another and how we relate to our culture and how we reach out to other people, all of those kinds of categories. We're going to deal with that because we're certainly not suggesting that the journey is not important, but what we're saying is that the journey without the destination is really just like wandering around in the wilderness. And so let's talk about that, Doug, because we've talked about a couple of scriptures here wanted to go to the Word of God and look at what God's Word says about what it means to walk around on this earth, to live the Christian life, and then we'll look at some passages that deal with the end of that journey, which is the end of our lives when we go home to be with the Lord. So let's look at a couple of passages.
Yeah. So the one that when we were thinking about this show and putting it together and title of the show, the scripture that comes to my mind probably before anything else is the story of the wilderness, Israel in the wilderness after they've come out of Egypt. And God has delivered them, and he's promised them that he's going to take them to this amazing land flowing with milk and honey, you remember. And of course, what ends up happening is the whole generation that's there, they don't end up making it into the promised land. And one of the reasons why, there's a couple of reasons, one of the reasons why is because they just kept complaining about everything God was doing with them on the way to the promised land, and they kept looking back to Egypt. There's this verse in Numbers 11 that says, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." It's a very stunning verse, because here's God giving these people this miraculous food in this desert as they're on their way to the promised land, giving them the very food from heaven, and they're complaining about it. And not only that, but they're looking back at Egypt, this place that they had complained about because of all of the oppression from the Pharaoh and killing of the firstborn and all the things that he was doing to them, and now it's the greatest place in the world. They can't imagine any place finer than to be back in Egypt under the whip of the Pharaoh.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? That because they rebelled against God, because they grumbled against God and against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, God actually cursed them, and the curse was that they were going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. I think that's a really important point that we need to talk about, because wandering, this idea of the journey by itself, the idea of just hanging out on this earth,
right,
and even trying to do good, but the idea of you know, just living on the earth, living our lives, is really more reminiscent of this wandering in the wilderness. And we have to remember that the wandering itself was not a good thing. It was actually something that came as a result of their sin.
Exactly. And there's something that we also want to talk about. When God gave them the curse to have to wander for 40 years, it was at this moment when Moses had sent these spies into the land. Remember, he sent 12 spies into the land, one from each of the 12 tribes. And when they came back, 10 of them gave this horrible report about how terrible these inhabitants of the land were. They were giants. They felt like grasshoppers in their sight. And look at the food that they produce. We can't possibly go in there and take this. Their cities are too big for us, and the walls are too thick. And yet two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, let's go take it. Mm-hmm. Let's go take it." But it was because of the faithlessness of the 10 that nobody of that generation except for Joshua and Caleb were allowed to enter into the promised land. It was a curse to wander around in the wilderness. And, you know, that's a very important aspect to look about in the journey. I think about some of the language that the Bible uses for the age that we're living in right now. You know, in this song, the bumper music song, she says, "Lay down your sweet and weary head." There's a song that Dan Fogelberg sings. I'll probably quote him a lot in this show. Who knows? He's my favorite singer. He says, "Joy at the start, fear in the journey, joy in the coming home." Mm-hmm. The journey is not something that most people are really looking forward to. Mm-hmm. It's because it's hard. Mm-hmm. This is, the Bible says this is the present evil age. It talks about the flesh. You know, it talks about a place that's been cursed. The creation has been cursed by God. This is not what we're longing for. At least not what I'm longing for.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, obviously as Christians, you know, we do live on the earth, and we're going to deal with this as we move along in the show. Not this show, but in various episodes. We're going to talk about what it means to live during the journey, and, you know, how our faith sustains us, how we're able to stand up under the schemes of the devil, how we're able to stand up under the pressures of temptation, under fear and doubt and all of the things that we experience. And we're going to talk about all of those things, because obviously it's important to understand how we live our lives during the journey. But I think the big problem that we see today around us, we're not interested in pointing our fingers at anyone, but there are a lot of people who want seemingly to emphasize this idea of journey, but they do it divorced from the idea of the destination.
I mean, I'm not sure that they're doing it intentionally. You go to websites and they all talk about how we want people to get to know our Savior and Christ and the things that He's done for us. But I guess it's the emphasis, like we said earlier, the name. Why are we naming all of our churches about wandering? Mm-hmm. We're not even naming them pilgrims. Remember, what is a pilgrim? We brought that up earlier. And a pilgrim is somebody who is traveling in a foreign land. You think about the idea of a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage was an intentional trip that you took to a foreign place. And it had a purpose, you know. And then you would come back from your pilgrimage, hopefully. Unless you're killed in a crusade or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Think about Caleb and Joshua, Tony. What was it about Caleb and Joshua that caused them to go into the land, the same land that the other ten saw, and to come back hopeful, and to come back knowing that they could do what they were supposed to do?
Yeah, Caleb and Joshua really, unlike the other ten spies, they had faith in the power of God. But having faith in the power of God is more in that story, which is representative of the story that we're talking about, the final destination, is representative of what God will do in bringing us to that destination. And that's exactly what Caleb and Joshua believed. They had faith. I was thinking about, as you were mentioning Numbers earlier, in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "For who are those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would never enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief." And that's right. Really the big point of it, isn't it? That Caleb and Joshua believed God. When God said, "I will give you the land," He'd already proven that. He'd already, through great miracles, leading them out of Egypt, going through the dry Red Sea, in their battle against this giant race of men called the Amalekites, they defeated them.
Right, so they had already seen God do the very thing that He promised to do in the future, in the past. And yet 10 of them refused to look back, and they refused to look forward.
Right, that's right. They refused to look to that final destination. Joshua and Caleb always were looking forward to that. In fact, it's interesting, later in the book of Joshua, Caleb is exuberant about the idea that God gives him the harshest and most difficult territory
right.
in all of Canaan as he goes in and takes the hill country,
right.
This race of giants that were there, and he goes in and he defeats them. And he was like 85 years old and still strong to swing the sword at that time. But the big point, of course, is that, Caleb and Joshua both looked forward to that day. They actually longed for the day when God would bring them into the promised land. There was a great hope and expectation about going into the promised land. They believed God would help them to overcome the obstacles that were before them. They knew that God would do that because He had already proven Himself to be trustworthy. And they believed Him. And they didn't want to be in the wilderness. They didn't want to be wandering around for those 40 years. And that's, the tragic thing that we see when so many Christians are so focused on, just the things of this life, just the Christian life, even if it seems like it's good, helping other people's social programs, even speaking to other people of the Lord, if we think that this is the end, if we think that this is what it's all about, the experience of the here and now, then we're really missing a big part of what God has promised.
Exactly. There's another verse that I was thinking about with Abraham, and this is also in Hebrews. This is Hebrews 11. "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance." So there's this promise that God had given to him, and it was actually the promise for the same land, just given, you know, hundreds of years before Joshua and Caleb. It says he went out not knowing where he was going, but the purpose is he was going to this place that God had promised him. And then it says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And we have that very same language in our introduction to this, you know, in the show. And the reason why is because the great patriarchs who had faith were looking forward to this place where God was. They wanted to be with God. And they weren't trying to bring heaven down on earth, which is a mistake that I think a lot of people are making with the good things, you know, the social programs and things that you mentioned earlier. But are we trying to bring heaven down now? The theologians call this a big word, over-realized eschatology. Eschatology is this idea of the last days. It's really the idea of heaven, ultimately. But it's over-realized because people are trying to bring that which is future here now.
Yeah, in fact, Doug, this is a topic we're going to be talking a lot about. It is what we believe is referred to in theology as the tension between the already and the not yet. That which God has done already and that which is yet to come, what God is yet to do in the future. He's promised to do it. In fact, we see that tension, even in this verse that you just read, in this, you know, sort of the idea of the tents as opposed to the city whose builder and architect is God. And we see that the idea of this dichotomy there between this notion of being a pilgrim, of wandering around on the earth, and yet looking forward to this city, a fixed city, a place that God is building. God himself is the builder and the architect of this city. And so while Abraham is wandering around in tents and the patriarchs and the prophets, they're looking forward to this city, to the final destination.
Now we have about 2 minutes left in the program. And the thing that I think I would like to conclude with today is that we're in a little bit different situation than the patriarchs were. Because our Lord comes and he says things like, if you see the Son of Man casting out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So you just mentioned this already, not yet. You know, there is a sense in which heaven is here now. And yet, I think that it's here in a way that most people don't really recognize. And as Reformed Christians, which is what both of us are, coming from that tradition, you know, we would say that the place that heaven manifests itself today, primarily, is in the gathering together of believers, and when the means of grace are near to them, especially in the corporate worship of God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, we'll probably spend an entire show just talking about that very point. In Hebrews chapter 12.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that are in this one for sure.
Yeah, that's right. This idea that we're actually in the worship of God, being lifted up as God's people to the very throne room of grace and being ushered into the very presence of God. But that really is a preview, isn't it, what you just mentioned. It's sort of an opening of a window. God gives us this window on earth that we can open up and look into his heavenly throne room, and you know that's an exciting thing, but certainly this idea of the already not yet.
Yeah, this is I'm super excited about this show and the things that we're hopefully going to be able to talk about. It's been good to be here with you this afternoon, and we hope that you will be able to be here with us next week. We'll continue this discussion as we're going to talk about the journey's end more and what is the journey's end.
Journey's End is a production of the Reformed Baptist Churches serving the Front Range. Our show is dedicated to helping Christians think deeply about their faith and helping them understand that the destination is the purpose of the journey. At www.coloradoreformation.com, you will find an increasing number of helpful tools. We have local churches in the southern and northern metro areas to assist you in understanding both the journey and the journey's end. Our worship services are Christ-centered and driven by the teachings of Scripture. This leads to our people seeking to emulate our Savior through kindness and humility. We are rooted in the historic creeds of Christianity, and our traditions arose out of the Protestant Reformation. We invite you to head to our website, www.coloradoreformation.com, for more information. That's www.coloradoreformation.com. We look forward to being with you again next week.